Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 14th, 2014. With me today, I have the very clever Kelly Gaumont.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there. And the very smart and sly Brian Chaffin.
Why, hello there.
I really hope you're spinning your little mustache handles.
Maybe.
As one does. Yeah. Hey, it's great to have both you guys here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, well, I invited you, Kelly, specifically because I was really interested in a piece that you wrote yesterday about home automation and your thoughts on exactly how Apple could get into that game.
Yeah, it's a lot of wishing, but I'm sort of wishing based in reality. This isn't one of those left field theories, and I'm not going to run around yelling that this is what Apple must do. But when you look at how some certain things have lined up, it makes a lot of sense for Apple, who announced HomeKit, a way to add system-wide access to home automation through iOS 8. They announced that in June at WWDC. And the interesting thing about that is that one of the other devices that also runs iOS and therefore would have access to the things that they're building with HomeKit is the Apple TV. And a lot of people have an Apple TV, and a lot of people don't take that Apple TV with them everywhere the way they take their phones. So usually what happens is the Apple TV, like any kind of TV or other set-top box, tends to be plugged in and left where it is. As long as it's got Wi-Fi, it's totally happy. So my wishing, and I tried to make the case for why this would be a good idea, is that what they could do with the new generation of the Apple TV is let the Apple TV be the thing that is the home automation hub. And anybody who's used home automation knows that somewhere you have to have a brain. It's sort of like having a security system. In order for everything to communicate effectively, you have to have that brain that's somewhere in your house, and everything communicates through that. And then that is what translates instructions back and forth. So, for example, when they were talking in the keynote about HomeKit, they said you could tell Siri it's time for bed. And once you tell Siri it's time for bed, then certain things happen. The thermostat gets dropped down a couple of notches. Maybe the porch light goes on and other lights inside turn off. And then everything's ready to go. And it would really be nice if the Apple TV were the thing that could do that, because I think the Apple TV is a thing a lot of people have and a lot more people will buy once there's actually an update, because I think there's a lot of pent-up demand there. Even at $99, a lot of people are waiting for a new one. And if a lot of people have it, this is the kind of thing that Apple has done for USB and for music players. You know, a lot of people probably didn't consider an MP3 player until there was an iPod that turned it into something that was a pretty trivial task to carry music around with you instead of a Discman. And I think that there's a real opportunity here. Apple did the same thing with USB. Once they decided everything was going to be USB on their computers, that was one thing that drove a lot of adoption. And I think that with the amount of stuff out there that's commonly available, you can get Wemos that you can turn on and off with things like if this, then that. And if you were able to take the Apple TV and give it system-wide access to all that stuff, then it means that you really can do what Siri, you really can command things in your house with Siri. And I think that that would be a wonderful future, considering I've tried to set up the current iteration of home automation systems and it made me want to drink and cry.
Drink and cry?
Both, yes.
Which would you have done first?
Probably cried and then drank.
Cry, okay, so cried. All right. Noted.
Yes.
Noted.
Yeah, well, you know, it plays a big part in just how frustrated you really are if you started drinking and then cry, or you cry and then start drinking.
Now, are you – you're not suggesting that Apple TV be the only hub, are you?
No, but – you know, people talk about like the computational power. And one of the things that I think is genius about the CarPlay system that Apple has come out with is that the phone is the brain because the phone gets upgraded regularly. But there's not a whole lot of stuff that needs to happen to transfer commands to light switches and power outlets and a thermostat. So the Apple TV doesn't need that kind of upgrade cycle because you're not generally going to be asking it to do more than send a small command to something. And that command could be power on, power off, up temperature, down temperature. You know, those aren't complex. And the reason I can say this with some authority is because I have a hub in my house now, and setting it up was so complicated. The directions are terrible. The forums are the only place that you can actually find some help. And so you have to hope that somebody else has had the exact problem you had and was able to fix it and went to the forums and documented it so that you can figure out how to get out of the hole that you're currently in.
Because in general, I've always been very skeptical of certain parties, and I'm looking at you, Google and Samsung, and you know everybody effectively but Apple, who have been convinced, and Microsoft, who have been convinced that we want our TVs to be our computers. I've been extremely right. skeptical of that, but. The idea of controlling a bunch of home automation from my TV, that actually does make sense. But I don't necessarily want to not be able to do it from my Mac or from my iPad or even from my iPhone when necessary.
Right. And I'm not saying you have to turn on the TV and do a bunch of jiggery-pokery that way in order to get things done. It would be your phone is on the Wi-Fi network at your house, just like the Apple TV is on the network at your house, and you tell Siri it's time for bed, that command goes to your Apple TV. And the Apple TV says, oh, the bedtime scene is drop the thermostat 3 degrees, turn on the porch light, turn off all the lights downstairs. And now I'm going to, and then it sends those commands. So porch light turn on, downstairs lights turn off. Thermostat, drop the temperature to this.
And that recipe, so to speak,
yeah,
you could set up from your iPhone or your Mac or your iPad. You're just issuing that recipe to the Apple TV, and then it stores right. it so it knows what to do later on.
Yeah, I don't want to have to turn on the television to do any of this stuff. It's just letting the Apple TV have those commands.
You know, on one hand, I'm like, well, if everyone has an iPhone, why does it matter? But on the other hand, having a single repository to manage all of your house commands sounds kind of appealing, because otherwise you have 2, 3, 4, however many people setting up their own commands, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And you do. And I can see where you could potentially have conflicts with what's supposed to be happening.
We have that now. We had at my house, nobody could remember. Nobody, I'm half of the people that live in my house, but nobody could remember who set up the rule for the Wemo to turn on the water boiler to make coffee in the morning. And we wanted to adjust the time on it, and nobody could figure out who set up the rule, so nobody could figure out how to turn it off. Because we had two separate if this accounts. And what one person sets up in the Wemo app doesn't show up for the other person who's on the same Wi-Fi network controlling the same devices. And so it got complicated in a hurry to try to figure out, like, I need it to turn on at a different time. How do we adjust this? Who set it up? Because that's the only person that can change it. Having all of that be on the Apple TV and just being able to tell the Apple TV to adjust the time that the coffee maker turns on would be perfect.
Yeah, see, to me, that's actually the most compelling argument for creating a Nexus device, in this case the Apple TV, to manage all of your automation needs.
Mm-hmm. Because right now I have a folder full of apps to try and do all of this, because not everything that the Wemo does is controllable through the Vera, which is the home automation hub I have now. Some things I can set up through if this, then that, which are not related to anything within the Wemo app or the Vera app. I can set up scenes in the Vera app and have the Vera app ready to go, but within Vera. But when Vera is doing stuff, that activity doesn't show up anywhere else either. So I've got like 3 different silos times 2 different people. And if there were more people living in my house, it would just get worse. with who set what up and what time is this happening and how come the lights just came on, how come the lights just turned off. It's just a nightmare.
Yep, I can see exactly where that could become a nightmare.
Kind of like the nightmare happening in the airlines above your house. Yeah. As we
indeed.
Speak.
Yeah, if only Kelly had an Apple TV to manage air traffic control around her place.
Indeed.
If only. Before we ran out of time, I want to hit another topic, even though there's just so much more we could talk about home automation. The other topic I wanted to hit is the news that came out that Apple is facing yet another lawsuit. And this lawsuit is related to the anti-poaching agreements that Apple, Google, Intel, Adobe, and several other companies had so that they wouldn't hire away each other's employees. There's already one class action lawsuit happening, and that's from the employees.
From the affected worker class.
Yes, from the affected worker class. Thank you. The new lawsuit, which happened or was filed just this week, comes from an Apple shareholder. And so this suit is targeting Apple specifically, saying that the anti-poaching agreements devalued the company and also violated California business laws.
Which is, I'm curious about that aspect of it because it's not, generally speaking, the role of private citizens to sue to prosecute laws. So that's an interesting element to it. I'm not skeptical of the worker suit. I believe that these agreements that we've discussed this course, but just for the record, the agreements between Apple and the other companies were entirely illegal, and they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and they're going to end up paying the price for that.
Yes, I agree.
The shareholder suit, I'm a little more dubious about, and I think that one of the bars that they're going to have to cross is the fact that Apple is the most valuable company in the world. So what more do you want, sir?
Yeah, if they have devalued the company, that will be difficult to prove.
if anything, this anti-poaching agreement enhanced the value of the company because it made Apple not have to. It made all the companies, but obviously they're suing Apple, right? But it made Apple not have to compete for workers, but it also made Apple's workforce more stable,
right?
So if anything, it enhanced Apple's value. I'm dubious of this one.
I'm worried about this one because I don't like that basically what it boils down to is a shareholder taking a company to court and saying, I don't like how you're doing what you're doing.
Well, but let me play devil's advocate.
On a regular basis.
Yeah, it's actually shareholders have the right to complain about just that. Now, that has a lot of negative side effects. During the 90s, for instance, there was a lot of suing anytime a company didn't pursue a short-term profit versus a long-term strategy. So that was kind of an institutionalized problem. But in general, shareholders do have a say on what their company does. Now, usually that's
right, but that's a shareholder meeting, right?
Well, it's expressed in a shareholder vote, but the shareholders do own the company. I mean, you know, Apple is owned. I own a few meager shares of Apple. I own part of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a say. I mean, mind you, I tend to vote along the party line of what Apple's asking for because Apple has shown to me a great deal of ability to make all the money and make the right decisions. And I don't think this is outside the role of a shareholder. This is what shareholder suits are about. I just think they're going to have a high bar to get a court to be really interested in their complaints.
I I think the only part of this complaint that a court might be more inclined to listen to would be the complaints that Apple broke California state laws.
Mm-hmm.
But
isn't that what the other suit is supposed to determine?
Well, the other suit is determining just exactly what sort of involvement all the various companies had in this this antitrust conspiracy to stop poaching from each other. And so in that sense, sure, that trial will determine whether or not Apple and the other companies broke the law, unless they settle out of court, which part of the group has, and the other part has tried and will probably try again, at which point no one will be admitting guilt to anything and the suit just goes away.
Well, don't forget that the DOJ already smacked these companies around.
Right, and there was no admission of guilt in that settlement either.
Yeah, but shareholders will have access to the same discovery that all these other cases have had access to. They'll be able to prove that Apple did in fact break the law. I don't really think that's an issue.
Yeah, and true. And in a case like this, you're not looking at beyond a reasonable doubt. You're looking at a preponderance of evidence.
That's true. Because it's a civil case versus a criminal case.
Right. So that means you need 51% of the evidence leaning in your favor. And for that part, I don't think anyone will have a difficult time, because all they need are a couple emails from Steve Jobs, and then it's done.
And it just so happens that they have them.
And it just so happens they have those. Yeah.
Like, make no mistake, we're not saying that anyone is blameless in this, but this other suit is going to be very interesting, because like you guys said, it's going to be very difficult to prove.
So, yeah, so there you go. Apple is now facing a second lawsuit related to their whole anti-poaching thing. And this is part of the Steve Jobs legacy that I'm betting Tim Cook would rather not have to deal with.
Oh, all these companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on that fun note, we are out of time. So
Word. Thank
you, Brian. Thank you, Kelly, for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, sure.
Thank you very much.
As always, it's just loads of fun to get to talk with you, and I love picking you guys' minds.